Lord's Day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day, this beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. It is a chilly day outside, but it is good to gather in the warmth of His building, His home this morning. And thank you for joining us for worship this day on this fourth Sunday during the season of Lent, as we seek to draw closer to Christ during this season, as we anticipate what's going to happen during Holy Week with Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. We're quickly approaching it. As we draw closer to Him during this time, I encourage you to reflect. How is God calling you closer to Him this day? If you're joining us via Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us for worship this morning online. You can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin there. Use that as a resource for our worship service today, but also for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. For those that are sitting here with me this morning, some of the things that you will see in your bulletin includes this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We continue our Lenten adult Bible study upstairs in the fellowship hall. 4 p.m. in the fellowship hall, we'll be looking at session 3 in our Simon Peter study. Now, if you cannot come in person at 4 o'clock, that's okay. You can actually watch that session online on Facebook Live as well. You can also look at it at a later time on Facebook Live. All the videos that we do, all our worship services, you can always visit our Facebook page and watch those videos at whatever time is convenient to you. But I encourage you, I've had some great discussions over the last couple weeks as Phil Thompson is leading this study, and look forward to more fruitful discussion this afternoon at 4 o'clock for the next session. Team leaders and church members, I do want to remind you that today is the deadline to have articles for our April newsletter into the church office. So if you have something that you would like to have in the newsletter for this coming month, please make sure you send it to Janice, or you call Janice tomorrow and let her know what you would like to have in the newsletter. We look forward to all the many different things that you'll see in the newsletter coming up in the coming weeks. This Tuesday, our group will be returning to the Golden Years Senior Center to provide playing bingo with the residents there, providing a birthday party for those that have birthdays around this time period. It's a wonderful time of ministry. Sandy French is a faithful leader for this group. And if you would like to participate in this ministry, if you would like to go one day to participate in this opportunity, please speak to Sandy, or you can speak to Gay or myself, and we'll make sure you're lined up to help out one of these teams. It is a wonderful way to reach out into our community, and this is our collection, our mission collection for the month of March. For this month, we're collecting bingo prizes. There's lists of items that are needed in your bulletin this morning. We're also collecting birthday supplies, because during the birthday times, we want to make sure we throw them an appropriate party with birthday plates and napkins and all those things that we all look forward to for our birthdays. We want them to be able to feel the same way. So make sure, if you have a chance to pick up some of those items, bring them by the church this week and drop them off in the communications center. Also, today is the deadline to sign up for our Fun and Fellowship trip next Monday, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, to the Old Mill at Guilford, and then lunch at the Moose Cafe. I know there's lots of names on the sign-up sheets already in the Sunday school classrooms, in the communication center. There's also one here in the foyer. If you are planning to go on this trip, you need to sign up today so Gay knows how many are going, so we have enough transportation lined up for this exciting trip. So make sure, please make sure you sign up this Sunday if you're planning on going on that Fun and Fellowship trip. We have gathered this morning today seeking the one who we call holy. Let us worship together this day.
Our first hymn this morning is Seek Ye First. Let's stand and worship together.
This morning, our scripture passage comes from Psalm 23, reading these words of this familiar psalm that we've heard many times throughout our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can be thankful each and every day, not just on a Sunday, that God's presence is with us, no matter what part of our life's journey that we are in. That's what Psalm 23 is all about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, thanking Him for His presence with us this morning. Let us pray. Loving Shepherd, You know us by name. You care for us. When we face darkness and death, You walk beside us. When we hunger for Your love, You fill us with Your presence. When we are fearful, You feed us at Your table. May we dwell in the house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. We lift this prayer in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is probably one of my most favorite songs, "To God Be the Glory." Let's stand and let's worship.
Thank you.
As many of you know, this is a big year in the life of our church here at First Baptist Elon. You have seen me write about it in our newsletter articles. You've heard me speak about it from the pulpit. And I want to once again reiterate that this is a big year. 75 years ago, a group of faithful believers gathered in the small community of Elon College to start a Baptist church. We are the evidence that this call upon their hearts was founded in Christ. Now, as the family of believers here at First Baptist, we want to celebrate this momentous occasion many different ways. So during the span of this year, as we celebrate 75 years, we're excited about many opportunities that will unfold for our church family. The return of some of our former pastors, visits from international missionaries that we support, a new pictorial directory, historical displays that will cover the decades, and of course, fellowship meals as we gather around the table and celebrate. To make all of these plans a reality, we need your input and we need your help and service. It simply cannot just happen. 75 years ago, it didn't just happen. It went with intentional effort and planning and prayer, and we need that for this year of 75 years. So if you would like to be a part of this team that's going to help put all these details in place and to plan out the calendar for this year, please speak to me after the worship service today or in the coming weeks. We're going to have our first team meeting for those that have already spoken to me and some of our important church leaders to take place on Tuesday night, March 28th at 6:30 p.m. I ask that you prayerfully consider if this is something that you would like to be a part of. Maybe there's something I mentioned that you would like to say, hey, I think I can help out with that. Please talk to me. Or maybe you've thought of something and said, what about this? Why can't we do this? The answer is we probably can, but we have to have the idea. So prayerfully consider being a part of this team as we plan for 75 years here at First Baptist Elon. At this time, I'll call on our deacon, Leslie Cornell, for offertory prayer this morning.
Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Holy and loving Father, though our offerings be meager, we give them in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give them in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give them in hope, knowing that you can use them to spread your love in this angry world. And with these gifts, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts and open hands. Amen. I
happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. I know he watches. I know he watches me. I
thank you, Jesse, for our special music today. Let's prepare for God's word this morning by going to him in prayer once again. Let's pray. Lord of abiding love and infinite patience, be with us this day. We have come from times of stress, difficulties, as well as times of hope and joy. We bring to you our concerns and our fears, and you offer your healing mercies. We confess that we haven't thought a whole lot about you this week. We have let events and demands crowd you out of our thoughts and our actions, yet when we come to you, when we come to your house this day, we again kneel in contrition, seeking your forgiveness for our blindness and our apathy. Turn our lives around this day, Father. Help us look again at the many ways in which you bless and care for us. Help us be people who will reach out to others in loving compassion, just as you reach out to us in loving compassion. For we ask these things, all these things, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon. This morning, I will be continuing the sermon series I began many weeks ago during this time, the season of Lent, leading up to our Holy Week titled The Sayings and Signs in the Gospel of John. Now, by looking at the next I Am statement this morning, we are seeking to once again draw closer to Jesus. What is Jesus trying to tell us? What is he trying to challenge us with this day, with this statement that he made? Of all the I Am statements that Jesus makes in the fourth gospel, this is probably the most familiar and synonymous with who he is. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Now, what does that mean? Let's begin by talking a little bit about trust. What does it mean to trust someone? If you look up the word trust in the Webster's Dictionary, well, let me take a step back for a second. How many of you still own a Webster's Dictionary? Raise your hand. I don't think I do. I think I purged mine when I moved offices because I thought to myself, do I actually use the Webster's Dictionary anymore? No, I just pull out my phone and I type in definition for trust and I get the answer. But anyway, back to the sermon. What does Webster's Dictionary say about trust? This is the definition. Trust, dependence on someone or something. A belief that something will happen or someone will act in a prescribed manner. If I were to ask you today, most of you anyway, if I were to ask you if you trust in God, your answer would be, yeah, I trust in God. But if we think about it, that's not such an easy question to answer. Trusting God means we have to believe in something that we cannot always see, and oftentimes we do not understand. You see, we find it easier to trust in things that we can see, that we can touch, that we can smell, that we can taste. We can trust those things, but those things that we can't use our senses for, then we struggle. We're a little like the disciple Thomas who said, you know, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and I put my fingers there where the nails were, and unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe that it is Jesus. So what did Jesus do? He answered Thomas's question. He simply said, Thomas, here I am. Thomas, put your fingers in my hand. Thomas, put your hand into my side. And what did Thomas do? He did, and he believed. He trusted Jesus after the fact. Well, this is not the only time we encounter Thomas in the fourth gospel. In our focal passage this morning, what leads to Jesus saying, I am the way and the truth and the life, it is led by a question by this disciple that we like to call the doubting Thomas. He gets a bad rap, by the way. I think I preached about that before. So let's think about what Thomas asks and how Jesus answers this powerful question. And Jesus' response reminds us simply of this. Sometimes we just need to chill out and pay attention because he is the way and the truth and the life. You ever heard someone say, tell you to chill out before? If you haven't, you just did. Let's look at God's word this morning. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14 this day. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the fourth gospel again. This morning, reading those first 14 verses in chapter 14, the words will be displayed on the screen behind me as well. And as you turn to this passage, Jesus is beginning a long discourse with his disciples. He is preparing them for what they are about to encounter when they arrive in Jerusalem. He's prepping them. It's almost like they're about to face their final exam. They're about to hit the toughest times that they're about to face, and Jesus saying, I'm giving you the study guide. I'm giving you the study sheet. You need to take notes as we do this. And that's what Jesus was doing in this discourse. And this is where he starts it. This is what he says to begin this preparation for them. Reading John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14 this day. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. We are taught in the Bible that the things that we can see are only temporary. Think about it. This building, the pews in which you are sitting on, this pulpit is all temporary. The churches that Paul built back in biblical times, they were just temporary. Cars, houses, our physical bodies, no matter what we do to slow the change that comes with life, all things get old and they start falling apart. Right? Amen. I just celebrated my 45th birthday. I'm feeling it. Yes, most of y'all say it. Y'all don't want to hear that, but you know. Anyway, one night, a busy mother put her two toddler sons to bed. After tucking them in and listening to their prayers, she kissed them goodnight and walked out of the room thinking to herself, at last, I can have some time to myself. So she went into the bathroom, took a nice, warm, long shower, washed her hair. She put on her old robe, wrapped her head in a towel, applied a thick layer of white moisturizer to her face, put on hand lotion to soften her hands up, put cucumbers on her eyes. She crawled into her lazy boy chair, and she was settled in for the evening. But just then, she hears that dreaded noise of a pillow fight taking place in her two toddler sons' bedroom. Boy, she was not happy. She threw open the door, yelled at the children, "You kids get right back in bed and don't make another sound." She turned off the light and slammed the door behind her. The two boys turned to each other with a look of bewilderment and said, "Who was that?" We look in the mirror and see our aging bodies and realize that, yes, they are temporary too. We say the exact same thing that those boys were saying. Who is that? Who is that? All the things that you can see and touch are only here for a little while, and then they are gone. But the things that you cannot see will last forever. This is a hard lesson for us to learn today, and it was a much harder lesson for the disciples to learn when Jesus was talking about that in John chapter 14. Yet it is a lesson we must learn, because when we face times of trial and trouble in our lives, we need to remember that Jesus promised, "I am with you always. You may not see me, but I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you." Remember, he's prepping his disciples to leave them physically, not spiritually, not emotionally, but to leave them physically. And he knew his disciples were still focusing on that one specific thing. And he said, "Trust in my presence." God wants us to trust him. Moses trusted God to deliver the Israelites at the Red Sea. Joseph trusted God while he was in Pharaoh's prison. David trusted God for a victory when he went up against Goliath. Jonah trusted God to answer his prayer in the belly of the big fish. Noah trusted God when he was told to build an ark in the middle of the desert. But trusting God goes against our nature, our natural instinct. Trusting God means that we have to admit that we are not in control of our lives. Amen? We're not in control. And the more times we try to control it, guess what happens? We fail. We fail. And friends, we still fight for it. We want to be in control. Mickey Rivers, a former baseball player, once explained his philosophy of life to one of his friends. He said this, "Ain't no sense worrying about things you got control over, because if you got control over them, ain't no sense in worrying. And there ain't no sense worrying about things you got no control over either, because if you got no control over them, ain't no sense in worrying." I wish I could have the same mantra that Mickey Rivers espoused. I worry. We all worry. Yet Jesus is telling us in this passage that we do not need to worry because God is in control of everything. However, let's not be dumb about it. Because sometimes we like to say, okay, God, it's all in your hands. I'm going to do whatever I want to do because you're in control. If I go walk out this road right here, stand in the middle of East Haggard Avenue, at some point, either this afternoon or tomorrow, or maybe the next day, a college student is going to run me over. Now, does God tell me to go stand in the middle of that road? No. He's taught me not to stand in the middle of that road, and we need to know that. It's not about testing God. It's about trusting God. So don't go test him, but trust him. Why worry when we can trust him? Like a rocking chair, worry gives you anything and everything. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. In verse 2, Jesus goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Now, we often hear this at funeral services, but Jesus is talking about life. When we hear these words, we tend to visualize a new real estate development with an agent who shows up with a map and he says, "Now your mansion is 2 blocks down and 4 blocks to the right." But that's not how it is. That's not how it is. The words Jesus used come from the Eastern custom that was when a son grew up and he got married, he brought his bride back into the family home. The father would build another room onto the house to welcome his son and his new bride into his house. If the next son gets married, he would do the exact same thing. So you're building houses and rooms and rooms and rooms, and eventually you have this great huge compound of what was intended for the family to live in. The house just keeps getting bigger and bigger as the family stays together. One of the things that I'm asked most about in preaching is this: David, preach about heaven. Tell me what heaven is going to be like. That's the image you want to hold on to. It's about the family being together. And when you arrive at those pearly gates, God's going to add a room to the mansion that is already huge, and that's going to be your place. And you're going to be connected to God. And you're going to be connected to God in a way that you've never been connected to God ever before. And you're not going to worry. You're not going to doubt. You're not going to have any concerns. You're not going to be worried about making your tea time, Barry. You're not going to worry about what the next meal is, making it to the restaurant in time after worship. All you're going to worry about is basking in the presence of God. Imagine living your life right now doing that. If that doesn't make you smile, I don't know what does. That's what it's all about. And that's what Jesus was teaching here to the disciples. He said, "I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Father. And you're going to follow me. You're going to follow me there. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to add that room on for you. Because there's a lot of people already up there, and they can't wait for you to get here. This is the layout of our future home. In verse 3, Jesus continues. He said, and if I go, I will come again. I will come again. He said, I'm not leaving you. I will come again. On March 11th, 1942, the Japanese forces were invading the Philippines. And on that day, General Douglas MacArthur, one of the greatest generals in the history of the United States, prepared to leave the Philippines, uttering what was probably going to become one of his most famous statements he ever said. As he left, he said, I shall return. When he made that promise to return, most people thought he was crazy. You're getting driven out by the Japanese forces. You're not coming back. You're not coming back. But 2.5 years later, General MacArthur landed once again on the Philippine soil with the words, people of the Philippines, I told you I would come back. I have returned. But we don't come on Sunday mornings to celebrate General MacArthur. We come to celebrate someone else who said, I will return. We are not celebrating a great general, but instead we are here to celebrate the King of Glory who died and rose from the grave so we could have eternal life. So we should just do what? Read the sign on the screen. Chill out and pay attention. Because Jesus is in control. But how do we pay attention? How do we pay attention? Thomas asks for directions. He's the one who says, well, Jesus, I don't understand. I don't know if he was sleeping or something, but he says this, what do I do? And Jesus tells him, no one comes to the Father except through me. No one can enter the Father's house without him. Remember Jesus' words just a few weeks ago when I preached about Jesus as being, I am the gate and the shepherd. I am the gate for the sheep. Now Jesus is saying, I am the way and the truth and the life, leading you up to the gate that's going to welcome you in to the Father. Because who is Jesus? He is I am. I am. Those familiar words that were spoken from a burning bush to Moses thousands of years ago when God revealed who he was to Moses. I am. And that's what Jesus was saying. I am. I am. But what about the directions? What does this mean? I am the way and the truth and the life. Suppose we are visiting a new city, a strange city, a large city, and we ask someone for directions. The person we ask tells us to take the first road on the right, then take the third to the left, go across the city square, go past the church, take the second road on the right, and then the road you want is the fifth on the left. Now, you will probably take off. And as you got about two roads down, you start scratching your head and said, I have no idea where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going. But let's suppose that person you asked, instead of giving directions, says simply this, come with me. I'll take you there. Then that person becomes the way to us, and we cannot get lost. We know where we are going because he is the way. That is what Jesus is saying and what he has done for us. Jesus leads us like the good shepherd that he is so that we will not get lost. He has prepared for us a place in heaven because he is the way. And he showed us the way to get there. He is the gate to let us in. But the disciples were still a little stumbled. They were still maybe not paying attention, those poor disciples. And Philip says, well, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. We just want to see something, something that we can grasp with our minds and our hands and our bodies. And fortunately, Jesus has some patience. He has patience for you and me as well, thankfully. Jesus tells them that anyone who has seen him has seen the Father, that he is the Father, and that in the Father is in him too. So when they saw Jesus, someone they could see physically right in front of them, someone that they had broken bread with, someone that they had walked along the paths with, someone that they had climbed in the boat with, someone that they had hugged and shaken hands with, someone that they could physically see, he says, "You don't need to see the Father because I am." You're seeing him now. The disciples' questions are typical of us too. We want to see what lies ahead for us. We want to know how everything is going to turn out before it gets here. And we're not always happy about just following him. In closing, a dying man asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place to which he was going to go. As the doctor was fumbling for the words for a reply, he heard a scratching on the door, and that gave him his answer. He said, "Do you hear that? Do you hear the scratching on the door?" The patient said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, that's my dog. I left him downstairs, but he has come up the stairs because he hears my voice. He has no idea of what is behind the door where you and I are, but he knows that I am here." Shouldn't it be like that with us as well? We don't need to know what tomorrow brings. All we need to know is God is already there, and that God is speaking to us already, and he is guiding us because he is the way. And he is the truth. And he is the life. We don't know what lies ahead, but our master does. We're just passing through this life, this temporary dwelling place in which we live. And just as the sheep trust in his shepherd, we have to trust in our good shepherd to lead us as the way and the truth and the life. So again, for the very last time, I just want to encourage you to do one simple thing. Chill out. Pay attention and just follow him. Let's pray. Father God, we believe. Help us to overcome our unbelief. We can feel similar to what the disciples were going through that day when he taught this lesson, and it still rings true in our hearts and minds today. Help us to trust in you. Help us to know in our hearts that you would never lead us astray, and that by trusting in you, we will know the way home. That's all we desire. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, maybe for the first time you recognize what it meant when Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And if this is the first time that you can wrap your arms around him as the way and saying, "I'm going to follow you no matter where you lead me," come down front. Let me talk to you about what it means to turn your life over to him. Or maybe you're seeking a body of believers, one that has been around for 75 years, that is still seeking to follow the one who brought us into being and that continues to guide us into the future. Who knows what the next 75 years holds? But what I do know is this, that God is already there. God is guiding us every step of the way. Become a part of our family here at First Baptist. Or if you just need some time to pray, spend some time in your pew or come down front. I'll pray with you. You can use the altar, whatever you need. But he is the way and the truth and the life. Where is he guiding you this day? Let us stand and sing. Thank you. as we leave this place today, know that you do not go alone. You never go alone. You may be going with somebody out to lunch. You may be going home with somebody, and you still feel lonely on the inside. But know you never walk alone, because the one who is guiding you is out in front of you. He's right beside you, and he's right behind you, supporting you every step of the way. Follow the way and the truth and the life as you go this morning. Go in peace.